Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
I've prepared this lesson, and I think of some of the statements that I have in my outline, some of the basic things that I want to teach that, frankly, they're going to be hard to take. It's not because they're so difficult. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. But yet, our minds are not always programmed to hear what the Bible says. Do you remember that movie, Men in Black? There was this little thing this fellow had, and he could hold it up, and you'd get everybody to look at it, and it would flash, and you'd forget what happened. You wouldn't have any memory of it. Boy, sometime I wish I could have one of those things. Wouldn't it be neat if I could stand up here this morning, and all of the false teaching, and all of the false doctrine, all of the false vocabulary that you've heard all your life about religious things, and we could just look at a flash and plank, and it'd be gone? And we could open the Bible anew without all those preconceptions and false ideas that we carry with us and just see what the Bible says if we could read it anew. There's so much false teaching going on. We emphasize not only speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent, but calling Bible things by Bible names and speaking as the oracles of God. That is so important because a lot of times people will talk about Bible things, but they won't use Bible words, and you won't know what they're talking about. Or they will use Bible words, but they will not be talking about Bible things. They'll use those words to refer to something else. And people will attach definitions and understandings to statements that are made and get so confused then when they come to the Bible, when it's taught some things it plainly teaches in plain words. But our minds have been perverted by the things we've heard. It seeps into our songs. It seeps into our prayers. It seeps into the mouths of your teachers and your preachers because it's all around us. And we have to take great effort to make sure that we're understanding things correctly and we're speaking about things the same way the Bible speaks of them. If you have a perspective from the religious world today and the religious vocabulary and let that be your starting point and you come and start reading the Bible, this is such a strange book. But if you have a perspective from the Bible and you let that determine your thoughts and the meanings of words and what that is and you start understanding this Bible and then you look out at this world, you'll think, my, what a strange world. And that's going to help you if you'll remember that, is you hear some of the things I'm going to teach about the body of Christ. That'd be the lesson. Maybe seven things we learn from the body of Christ. And I may not get to all seven. I'll be respectful of your time. It comes from the text that was read. He who has all things under his feet has been given to be head of the body, which is his church. Fullness of him that filleth all in all. We want to talk about that. And what are we talking about when we're talking about the body of Christ? Now listen to this. The body of Christ is the church of Christ. My, how that might sound to the world. What are you talking about? How could anyone say such a thing? You go to the Yellow Pages and look. And look at all those churches listed in the Yellow Pages, starting from maybe something called Apostolic Fellowship and go all the way down through the alphabet to Zion Assembly. And I just made those words up. But every denomination in this town is listed somewhere in there. And you go to the phone books of various communities, there's all these listings of all these kind of churches. Among many phone books, you'll find in there a listing called Churches of Christ. Well, how strange it is for someone to say, now that one is the body of Christ. Well, what about all of those others? And you see how strange it sounds when you start from the world and look at the Bible. What a strange book this is. But if you go to what the Bible says, and then go look at the phone book, you're going to think, what a strange phone book this is. What a strange Yellow Pages. Well, why is it there's all these different kinds of churches? That is what is really strange. Because the Bible clearly teaches. It's not ambiguous about it. It teaches in no uncertain terms when you're starting from the perspective of the Bible, using Bible words for Bible things, then the body of Christ is the church of Christ. Now, just look at it. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Isn't that what it says? Well, that's just as clear as it can be. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And He is the head of the body, comma, the church. And then they look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. It talks about the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Now, doesn't the Bible very plainly say that the church of Christ is the body of Christ? That the body of Christ is the church of Christ? Why does that sound so strange to the world and maybe even just repulsed by such a thing when it's so plainly taught in the Bible? I'll tell you what it is. Part of the reason is because they can't think of churches without thinking of denominations. When they hear Church of Christ, they're thinking Church of Christ denomination. But you don't read about Church of Christ denomination in the Bible. You just read about the Church of Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that the good news is that what these people did, they were baptized into Christ and added to the Lord's church, and they never did join any denomination. And the church you read about in the Bible is not anything like denominations today. And to restore New Testament Christianity means this: we can do the same thing. We can do exactly what they did. We can believe and obey our Lord in baptism, being baptized for the remission of our sins with the promise that God will add us to His church and be members of the church of Christ you read about in the Bible. Be members of that body and never join any denomination. What is so odd here is not the Bible. The Bible's plain and clear and beautiful and pure. The strange thing is all those churches listed in the yellow pages. That's what's so strange and what's so odd. Let me give you another statement here that we want to look at. There is one body. And therefore there is one church. Now that's what the Bible says. Oh, I know that just rings almost harsh to the ears of the world, but it's the world that's got it mixed up, not the Bible. The Bible teaches that so very plain. Forget what you've heard. Let that flash have you forget everything you've heard about churches in the world. What does the Bible say? Look at it. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body. That's what it says. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 16, that He might reconcile both in one body. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, ye are called in one body. Romans 12 and verse 4, there are many members in one body. Romans 12 and verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 17, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. One verse. And it says that three times in that one verse, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Three times in one verse it says that. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That is 10 times that the Bible has said, in reference to the church, there is one body. And that's not all it says. There's one other place. And this place is more emphatic than any of those others that we have read. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. There are now many members, yet but one body. But one body. You know what that means? That means only one body. How could the Bible be any plainer than that? It tells us that the body of Christ is the church of Christ. And the Bible tells us there is one body. Christ just has one church. It's the phone book that's got it so mixed up. The phone book is not our authority in matters of religion. It's that long list of all those churches that men have messed that up. I wish we could just forget that. It confuses us. The Bible is so clear and plain, and that's not hard to understand. And it's beautiful. Why would anyone want something different? Why would someone want the body of Christ all divided up and all this confusion and all this warring among different factions? Why would anyone be proud to say, that's the way it ought to be? The Bible has it clean and pure and simple and plain. And it's not the Bible that sounds strange. It's the world that's got it strange. Let me tell you how this can come up and hit you. I was in a discussion years ago with a teacher. That tells you maybe how long ago. I had a teacher sitting in a class with a teacher, and we were having a political discussion, and it was getting rather heated. Now, I was probably getting the best of her. I don't remember what the discussion was about, but I think I was getting the best of my teacher, and I don't say that bragging, but I say that because of the embarrassing thing she did to me. And she put me on the spot. Right in the middle of that discussion, having nothing to do with a political issue we were discussing that I don't even remember what it was, she said this. She said, "Class, I think you need to know that Bill Boyd is a member of the Church of Christ, and they think they're the only ones going to heaven." Now, that's what she did to embarrass me in front of that class. Well, what do you do about that? You know, I know when people hear that, they hear one thing, and I hear what the Bible teaches on it, and I hear another thing. And sometimes the answer to that question is not responding to what they have charged you with because of the different definitions they're using the words. Now, for better or worse, I'll tell you how I handled that. I asked that teacher, I said, "How many churches did Jesus establish?" And she said, "One." And I knew what denomination she attended. So I said, "Well, is that..." And I named her denomination. And her response to that was to glare at me and then to leave the room in tears. Well, you might say I won that argument. I don't know that I won a soul. That's more important than winning an argument, is winning a soul. So I may have lost there. That's the way I tried to handle it at that time. What do we say? I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to speak where the Bible speaks. And I don't know anywhere where the Bible teaches that anyone that is a member of a Church of Christ denomination is going to be saved. I don't think the Bible teaches that anywhere. But the Bible does teach me that God adds all the saved to His one church. And that's the way we need to teach it. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. And I know it's difficult to sometimes face down the fact that people come at you with definitions that the world has given to things and aren't speaking and understanding what the Bible says and responding to things like that. But we've still got to teach just what the Bible says. Now, that gets me to the next point. Jesus is the Savior of the body. Now, that means that Jesus is the Savior of the church. We find that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. And it says it so very plain. And if you'll just let the Bible be your perspective, this is not a difficult idea or concept. This is so easy to understand. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. "For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Now that's the passage to use when someone comes up at you and says, "Well, I don't think the church saves you. The church doesn't save anybody." And you know that is true. It's not the church that saves. But it's also true that Christ saves the church. Maybe think of it this way. You ever cleaning out your storeroom or your attic or maybe going through your children's things and you say to your child, "Now look, here's a box. We're going to throw this stuff away. Anything you want saved, you put in this box."
And the child says, well, that box isn't going to say anything.
Well, that'd be a silly thing to say anyway. But I tell you, if one of my children said that, I'd say, well, you're right. That box may not save anything, but I'm going to say what's in that box. And that's the difference. And so the church isn't going to save you, but God's going to save those who are in His church. That's the difference. And so Jesus is the Savior of the body. And that means Jesus is going to save His church. Jesus is the one head of the one body. That'd be point number four. He's the one head of the one body. That means Jesus is the head of the church. Who's the authority in the church? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the authority is. Now, don't get the wrong idea. Each of us are authorized to do what the Lord tells us to do. By giving the elders oversight of the church, He's given them the authority to exercise that oversight. By telling you on ways to live your life and treat your neighbor, He's given you the authority to do that. By telling preachers to preach the Word, He's giving them the authority to preach the Word, and all that authority comes from Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. And it says that in Ephesians 5:23, and in Ephesians 1:22, and in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, and Colossians 1 and verse 18, and Colossians 2 and verse 19, that's five times. It's very plain. Jesus is the head of the church. That gets us into church organization. You want to know how the church is organized? Jesus is the head. And so where Jesus is the headquarters. You know, the quarters are where you abide, your abode. And so the head is quartered where? At the right hand of God in heaven. The headquarters of the church of Christ is in heaven. Now, you go to the phone book and look at all those different... We'll find a church in there that will have a headquarters in London, England. Or in Rome, Italy. Or in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Laura and I were talking to a fellow not long ago, and the headquarters for his church was Cleveland, Tennessee. Now, where's the headquarters of the church of Christ? It's where the head is quartered. At the right hand of God in heaven. And there's no hierarchical structure of bishops over churches and archbishops over bishops and on up forth to some earthly head. It's not in the Bible. The head of the church is Jesus who is in heaven. The work of the church is the work of the Christ. How do you do your work? Well, you go with your feet and you do with your hands. You hear with your ears and see with your eyes and speak with your mouth. How does the Lord do His work on the earth? He uses His body. He uses His church. We're His hands. We're His feet. We're His mouthpiece. We're the ones that are charged with carrying the gospel into all the world so we can talk about the work of Christ. It's the work of the church. The work of the church, say it the other way, is the work of Christ. People think the work of the church is everything from entertaining your kids to saving the whales. Well, what does the Bible teach? The evangelism for the lost. It's edification of the saved. It's benevolent toward the needy. And the Lord does that work through His hands, His feet, His mouth, which are the members of His body. All right, point number six. You become a member of the church of Christ when you are baptized into His body. And the Bible doesn't say anything about joining the church. You can go join a denomination. They didn't tell you how to join. In fact, the popular message you hear on the radio is you need to get saved and join some denomination. And the Bible never does say get saved. And the Bible never does say join a denomination. That is the human language that is put on thoughts that if their concepts are biblical at all, they need to drop their human vocabulary and use Bible vocabulary so we know what they're talking about. And we can discuss these things. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13,
Now, this is just plain. It's easy. This is not a difficult passage.
In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then in Acts 2:47, it says that the Lord was adding to His church daily those that were being saved. And so, if you obey the Lord in baptism, obey His gospel, not just believe it, obey it, you come out of that water cleansed of your sin. The Lord adds you to His church. And He calls that being baptized into His body. And then, number 7, the loving care that Christ has for His body is the loving care He has for His church. That's why it's here. In the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Look at the context. He begins this chapter, which sets the theme for this chapter, if not the theme for the whole book. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And he talks about those spiritual blessings. They're ours according to the plan of God. They are secured by the blood of Christ. We are assured of them by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's prayer is that their eyes of their understanding would be open, that they might know the hope of their calling and know the riches of that hope. And understand that God has the ability, He has the power to accomplish that which He has promised. And He demonstrated that power when He raised Jesus from the dead and put all things under His feet. And you want to know how blessed you are? How important that this church is to Him that you're a part of? He's writing to the saints in Ephesus, the members of the church in Ephesus. You want to know how important that is to God? Because He, who has all things under His feet, has been given to be the head of His body, which is the church. Isn't that beautiful? That's how important the church is. He put it under Christ Himself. And it says He gave that to us. While we could have no greater head and no greater blessing than to be right under the oversight of Christ, because He's head of this thing. And it is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That word fullness, I'm more and more convinced that's talking about this is His pride and joy. You ever heard somebody say that is their pride and joy? Maybe it's a grandson, maybe it's your child, maybe it's some accomplishment you have. My pride and joy is this, the pride and joy of Him that filleth all things is the church. And look what he says about the loving care. He returns to that in Ephesians 5. In verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. He nourishes and cherishes the church. And so the nourishment and care that the Lord gives to His body is that loving kindness and care that He has for His church. And if I had time, I'd go into the book of Romans, and particularly in the book of 1 Corinthians, and show that that's the kind of loving care that we are to have toward one another. Not to say to one part of the body, say to the other, I don't need you. No, but when one part of the body suffers, all suffer together. And we rejoice together. And we work together for that loving care of one for another. That's our unity in Christ and the oneness we have in Him. And that's the loving care we're to have for one another in the church. Just like Christ loves and cares for us.
And so it's a beautiful expression filled with great meaning, and it's not hard to understand. From the perspective of the Bible, it makes the world look absurd. So judge the world by the Bible. Don't judge the Bible by the world. Judge the world by the Bible. And when I read about all this and understand about His church and what it means that the church is His body, I'll tell you what it does for me. It makes me want to be a member of the church. Doesn't it you? I mean, what more glory and joy could there be if I can be part of that? I can be one of those members of the body of Christ. Now, there is a joy and a thought and a hope that is worth pursuing. If you're not a member of the body, then our invitation is always open. You can be baptized into that body. And if you are a member of that body, then fulfill your role. Be one of those joints that supply that which it's supposed to supply for the other parts of the body to work and function together. And if you've fallen away, then be restored to that great position that is yours and that great work that is yours as a part of the body.